أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا مصطفى محمد صلى على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, tonight we're going to talk about the wonderful story of Nabi Sulaiman and his conversation with the ant. One of the stories in the Holy Quran, a very important story in the Holy Quran. The context of this story, brothers and sisters, is Hajj. Nabi Sulaiman is going to perform the Hajj, but he sets out with a mighty army. We're going to find this story in Surah Naml. So the ants, it's verse number 27, Surah number 27, verse number 17. That's what we're going to start out with. And the other verses that I'll be explaining to you will also be from this surah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وحشر لسليمان جنوده من الجن والإنس والطير فهم يوزعون. Once Sulaiman's host, his army, once Sulaiman's host were gathered for him from among the jinn and the men and the birds, and they were marshaled in ranks. If you notice, brothers and sisters, first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the jinn, something that makes it even more outstanding, more astounding. What kind of an army did he have? His army had jinn marching alongside him. He had men marching alongside him, and we know the birds would be flying over him, shading him. So that kind of an army is now assembled. They're there with full military discipline, for instance, and now they're there in front of this prophet. I mentioned before that we learned from our hadith that the kingdom of God in the time of the Mahdi is going to be even more amazing. One hadith from the first imam where we get a little bit of an indication of what he will be like. What will his army be like? How will his army be assisted? The Amir al-Mu'mineen says, وَيُؤَيَّدُهُ اللَّهُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْجِنِّ وَشِيعَتِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He, the army of our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, the Mahdi will be assisted by the angels and the jinn and, of course, the mu'mineen. These guys now, they're marching. So this mighty army has been assembled. They're going to make the Hajj. The army is marching. حَتَّى أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ قَالَتْ نَمْلَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلِ ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. Till when they came to the valley of the ants, an ant said, O ants, enter your dwellings, lest Sulaiman and his host crush you while they are unaware. So you remember that from our story, we don't have a magic carpet. The army is obviously marching on the ground because there's a very real fear of the ants, that this mighty army will crush them. They come over to the valley of the ants. The ant tells the other ants, everybody, go into your homes. I don't want anybody to be crushed. They might not know it. Accidentally, they'll crush you. The words of the ant were heard by Nabi Sulaiman. He heard them. And he responded. They say in a hadith, before I get to the verse of the Holy Quran, they say that he asked the ant, why is it that you've warned them about me? You know that I'm a Nabi of Allah. You know that I won't harm anyone. The ant showed a lot of insight, basira. The ant said that I know you're not going to harm anybody, but I am afraid the other ants, when they see your mighty army, they'll be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they see that kind of an army, that kind of glory, instead of them focusing on their own duties, they'll be impressed. They'll be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I wanted the other ants to go inside and not be distracted. Nabi Sulaiman was very pleased with the statement of the ant. He was happy with the ant, and he said, the verse number 19, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. He started laughing. He appreciated this. He's smiling. He's laughing. By the way, I don't want any brother or sister to think that, why is it that you say that he knows the language of the ants? We learned before, أُلِمْنَا مَنْتِقَ الطَّيْرِ. God taught us the angel, the language of the birds. Why is it now you're saying that he speaks the language of the ants? Well, brothers and sisters, there's no conflict between the two. It's possible for somebody to learn or know the language of the birds, and doesn't mean they don't know the language of the ants. I remember hearing a story once. They said there was a little boy standing outside a country store, and he has a big dog standing next to him. And this guy comes over, and he says, "Does your dog bite?" He said, "No, my dog doesn't bite." So the guy reached over and he started petting the dog, and then the dog almost took his arm off. And he was so angry, he turned to the little boy. He said, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." He said, "That's not my dog." Right? Technically, it's not a lot. Right? وَلِمْنَا مَنْتِقَ الطَّيْرِ. It doesn't mean he didn't know any other languages. He knew the other languages also. He continues now. He's going to make three very important du'a. Three beautiful du'a. We'll start with the first du'a that Nabi Sulaiman made, expressing his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ رَبِّي أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. And he said, "My Lord, inspire me to give thanks for your blessing for which you have blessed me with, and also the blessing that you've blessed my parents with." Allah loves among His servants those who are thankful. There are some believers who take that verse of Quran very seriously when God teaches us in the Quran, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. When it comes to the blessings of your Lord, announce them. Say, "I'm blessed." Announce Allah's gifts to you. Notice them. Remind yourself of them. Tell other people about them. "I'm blessed. Allah has honored me. Allah has favored me." As opposed to always being negative and ungrateful. There are some people, though, who are like Nabi Sulaiman. They don't only remember the blessings they received. When they're thinking about the blessings that Allah has favored them with, they also remember the blessings Allah gave to their parents. Because those are also indirect blessings for this person. Nabi Sulaiman is like this. "God, you've been looking out for me for a long time. From before I was born. Whatever blessings you gave to my parents, those are also blessings for me. They are indirectly, I'm receiving them. I'm the result of the kindness that you shared to my parents." So some people are like that. "Not only my blessings, but also the blessings that you bestowed on my parents. All the blessings that I'm involved with." Brothers and sisters, there's another very important point that Allah Tabatabai benefits from or takes from this verse. If you notice in this verse, he doesn't only thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that his father was given. His father was a Nabi. His father had a powerful kingdom. His father was one of Allah's chosen servants. The mountains would do tasbih with his father. But he doesn't only thank Allah for those blessings. He also thanks Allah for the blessings that his mother received. Why is that important? So he says, walidayya. Why his mother though? Allama Tabatabai mentions this point. He says, actually, there's defense in this verse about the character of his mother. He's also praying as a prophet of God for his parents, for his mother. She's also on the right path. Why was it so important that he mention his mother, the blessings that he received through his mother? You have to remember that in the Bible, the character of that wonderful lady who's referred to in our hadith as Sulaiman was destroyed. There is a terrible story that our imam said, if I catch somebody repeating this story in one of the hadith, I will punish this person. What's that story which is there in the Bible, which we may even have heard? They say this about his father, that his father, nastajiru billah, lusted after the woman of another. Fornicated with her. She was married. He fornicated with her. Had a child with her.
Then, because he realized that she was pregnant now with his child, he sent the father off to be killed. Nastajiru billah. This is how they describe Nabi Dawood. That kind of a mother is the mother of Nabi Sulaiman. God defends her character. That was not the case. Imam al-Ridha, he tells us what really happened. He said what really happened was this. During the time of Nabi Sulaiman, women who had been previously married or their husbands had died, the mothers or the wives of shuhada, for instance, shuhada, they would never be able to get married again. That was it. You would have one chance, you'd never get married again. Then God gave instructions for Nabi Dawood to break this tradition. He told him, no, this woman, she's been previously married, you propose, you break this tradition, you do this. But people, when they heard this, because it was against their customs, they didn't like this, they got upset, they started making these legends and stories, and he was disgusting and these things. Well, the reality is, Shahid Mutahari mentions this point, Islam says that every woman has a right to be married, even those who were previously married. Why is it that we have polygamy in Islam? One of the reasons is that, Shahid Mutahari mentions. Right? So she had a right to be married. Nabi Sulaiman, Nabi Dawood proposed to her. When you look in our ahadith, you see that she was a wonderful personality. The most spiritual person on the face of the earth is our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He quotes her spiritual advice. He quotes her spiritual advice, the advice that she gave to Nabi Sulaiman. He says this, she spoke to him, she said, Ya Bunayya, Iyaka wa kathratu naum billayl. She said, oh my dear son, my little son, she's giving him advice about Salatul Layl. Beware of sleeping too much at night. Beware about missing Salatul Layl. She says this, Fa inna kathratu naum billayl tada'u ar-rajul faqiran yawm al-qiyamah. Those people who don't wake up for the night prayer, on the day of judgment, they're going to realize they missed out. On the day of judgment, they'll be faqir. Their hands will be empty. So she was a wonderful person. What else? One dua of Nabi Sulaiman was about gratitude. The next dua is inspiration, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for inspiration. He says, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Oh Allah, inspire me not only to give thanks, but inspire me to do good deeds, تَرْضَاهُ. Good deeds that you approve of. Why is that important? Why not just good deeds? Good deeds that you approve of. Brothers and sisters, this is another one of those spiritual wajibat. Very important for those who would like to go to the next level of spirituality. Brothers and sisters, it's not possible to do every good deed on the face of the earth. We're forced to prioritize. I can't do everything. Let me do what's most important. How is this related to spirituality? Those brothers and sisters who, instead of focusing on what's most important, what's needed at the moment, what their primary duties are, they focus on secondary duties. These people don't get close to God. For instance, there is a brother, I'll give you an example. One of the ulama mentioned, he said, a man said that I have never missed the prayer in the first time in 30 years. It's been 30 years. Every time Salat came, as soon as the time for prayer came, I would go over and I would offer my prayers. The alim who's telling this story said, this person is definitely not adil, definitely not just. There was never in 30 years any priority that you had. Nothing was important, more important than the prayers in the first time. Let's say your wife was pregnant, she's about to deliver. Can you just say, no, I pray the first time. She deliver, let her deliver. We have to focus on what my duty is at the moment. Example for the sisters. There's a sister whose responsibility right now is to care for her child. But she says, I never miss Dua Kumail. The little guy is screaming his head off. The sister says, me and Allah. Right? Any of us, brothers and sisters, what is my primary duty? What does God want from me right now? Is it salah? Then salah. Is it jihad? Then jihad. Is it amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar? Is it whatever it is? We don't have any sort of act of worship that for us is an idol. It's all about God. What does God need from me? What does God want from me? Am I doing that? The thing is that is most important right now. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. A good deed that pleases you. Not a good deed that, God forbid, like Imam Ali says this. If someone does an act which is recommended, and that causes harm to their wajibat, he says, you can't get close to God like that. لَا قُرْبَةَ بِالنَّوَافِلْ إِذَا أَذَرَّتْ بِالْفَرَائِثِ. You can't get close to God by doing a good deed which causes you to ignore your primary responsibilities. It's recommended in and of itself, but right now it's stopping me from doing my responsibility. So those people who are on the spiritual path, they have to make sure they keep that in mind. Always focusing, what is it that God wants from me right now? That's one of the du'as. A little point from the tafsir now. Allama Tabatabai says that there's a difference between being inspired to do good and having tawfiq to do good. He asks for inspiration. Tawfiq to do good, Allama Tabatabai explains as this. God arranges a situation for me. He helps create tawfiq for me. I do my responsibilities. He says inspiration is something different. Inspiration is on the inside. It's something that drives me, makes me create these situations. He's looking for the second thing, inspiration to do good. What else? He also asks for a high spiritual gift. So his third dua now. If you looked in this, the words, I want to say it in Arabic for those of you who understand the Arabic, and I'll translate for those of you who don't. Let's look at the verse. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. That I get inspiration, so I do good deeds that please you. I. أَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. What does he say in the second part? The last dua, the third dua. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He says, oh God, you cause me to enter into your righteous servants. The first time he's saying, make me, inspire me to do good. The second time he's saying, oh Allah, you make me enter among your righteous servants. Why that? There are certain levels of spirituality, brothers and sisters, where it's you primarily doing the good deed. You're making effort, you're trying. There are certain levels where God has to take your hand and bring you along. You want to go, Allama Tabatabai says, what does it mean when he wants to go amongst the salihin? He said he's asking that his soul be salih, be able and capable of receiving all of Allah's goodness. This isn't something that you just do. This is gift from God. He brings you along at a certain stage. So because of that, he asks God. The ants, he went to go make Hajj, and when he went to go make Hajj, then he announced over there, because he's the first person to cover the Kaaba with an expensive cloth from Egypt. He covered the Kaaba. He also made a prophecy about our prophet there. He said, in this land, this is a land in which God will raise an Arab prophet. He will grant victory to him over his enemies. His enemies will be instilled with awe of him that will travel to a month's distance with his family and others alike. Glad tidings to all those who live to meet him and believe in him and stand by him. He says, those of you who are present, give this good tidings to those who are absent. He is the foremost of the prophet, the seal of messengers, and his name is recorded in the books of old. So he gave a prophecy about our prophet, showed his support, because there's no conflict between prophets. They all believe in one message. Now, brothers and sisters, what's our inspiration for tonight? Tonight we're going to go back to that verse. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Oh Allah, inspire me so I do the good deeds that please you, that make you happy. Brothers and sisters, a little history lesson. In every society, brothers and sisters, we have what we call khawas and we have awam. We have some people who are just the masses, who follow what everybody else says, who look to see what people are saying, who they're supporting, and you have other people who are khawas. This happens amongst good guys and bad guys. They look, they analyze, they think for themselves, they come to a conclusion, and then they act. There are other people, they don't think for themselves, they just follow. What is everybody else doing? Who's everybody else cheering for? Who everybody else hates now? They don't make decisions themselves. Or woman. Lady Zainab was one of the khawas. Her husband was one of them. It's not male or female. It's not being old or young. Some young people are amongst the khawas. Older people, some of them just follow. Some people have secular education. Some of them are khawas. Others of them are awam. Some people have formal religious training. They're also awam, and others are khawas. Who makes the independent decision? And there's good guys and bad guys, thinking people who come to this conclusion. Now, what we learn, I'm going to give you a little history lesson, a reminder for all of us. In Kufa, when Muslim first went into Kufa, there were awam there. These awam were very impressed. There's a new guy here. He says he's from Bani Hashim. He's speaking very revolutionary words. He's going to fight Yazid. 18,000 of these awam made bay'ah to this individual. Then later, these same people, the heat comes down. Ubaydullah is there. He wants to get you. He's going to punish you. The same people come and they start fighting him. How come you're not obeying? How come? The tides have changed. Awam. Now, why is that so important, brothers and sisters? History is determined by the khawas among the mu'mineen. You, brothers and sisters, are deciding when Imam Mahdi comes back. You are khawas. Awam, God bless them. Maybe they'll make it to paradise. They don't have insight anyway. If there's a khawas, if history is good, maybe it's easy, they go to paradise. Khawas are the people who make the difference. If khawas accept batil, batil comes into power. If awam stand for truth, truth is victorious. God says in the Quran, "Huwa alladhi ayyadaka binasrihi wa bilmu'minin." God is the one who assisted you with divine help and also with the mu'mineen. Ulama can't all do it on their own. The imams, a'imma, can't all do it on their own. It's mu'mineen. So what happens? Brothers and sisters, the decisions of khawas change history. In Kufa, it was the khawas of the mu'mineen who failed Muslim. The people who understood, read the history books. You guys have read Kitab al-Irshad. Look at the letters, those people who wrote to Muslim. The people who wrote to Imam Hussein were khawas. They're people who understood. When Muslim came, the khawas failed him. What happened? The heat came from Ubaydullah. When the heat came from Ubaydullah, Ubaydullah is told to cut the city under control. He comes in, he starts putting pressure, he starts warning the heads of the tribes. Muslim, one more example. Sometimes one of the khawas can make a difference. What you all know about the story of Karbala. One of the khawas was in the palace of Ubaydullah. Hani bin Urwa had been captured. All he needed was one person to get the word out to his tribe. They would have broken down the door, they would have come in. Shuraih was there. Shuraih was a judge. People knew Shuraih. All he had to do was to speak. Shuraih was scared. He was terrified. Shuraih said that, no, Hani's okay. The people dispersed. So one of the khawas is important. All of the khawas are important. What happened with Muslim? With Muslim, brothers and sisters, the awam abandoned him, as I mentioned. He came people at least to take down Ubaydullah. They came and they surrounded the Darul Imara. The people abandoned him, even the khawas abandoned him. When they abandoned him, it took the authorities hours to bring Muslim and to arrest Muslim. Hours of him fighting back. If he only had 100 of the Khawas, the people who understood what was Haq and what was Batil, fighting with them, they could have never taken him. The Awam would have seen that resistance. The Awam would have stood up. The Awam would have... The history would have been changed. Some of those Khawas later made it to Karbala. But they failed the test of Imam of Muslim. They were supposed to fight and die for Muslim. They didn't. History was changed. Karbala. Responsibility, the time that they were supposed to protect Imam Hussein, they didn't do that. Khawas. Then later they went and then they did an uprising. These individuals, inshallah, because they're shuhada, inshallah, they're in paradise. But they failed Imam Hussein. So the Khawas, their decisions are important. When they fail in their decisions, history is changed. When they accept batil, haq fails. Now that we know that, brothers and sisters, a little bit of making this practical. Brothers and sisters, we're faced with a very strange situation right now. A strange situation. We're faced with a situation where two of the ulama who we have so much respect for, we love and we pray for, they have a difference of opinion. And we are students, indirect students of both of them. We love both of them. We pray for both of them. But they have a difference of opinion. And it's clear there's a difference of opinion. What are we supposed to do when there's a difference of opinion amongst those people who are supposed to be our guides, who we love both, we pray for both, we believe in both, we follow in prayer behind both? What are we supposed to do? They're both saying opposite things. What is our duty? This is a very valuable lesson for the global resistance. All of us have to make sure we learn this lesson. What do we do when we don't have guidance that's all a consensus of ulama? The Ahlul Bayt have given us principles, brothers and sisters, principles that we're supposed to follow. We're going to start with one from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Al-Haq la yu'rafu bir-rijal. I'rif al-Haq ta'rif ahla. Don't know the truth through people, through personalities. Know what the truth is, you'll know the people of truth. God is going to guide the believers who are looking to do their responsibility. Surah Yunus, verse number 9. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Verily, God says, verily those people who believe and do good, God will guide them because of their faith. So believers are not supposed to be confused. There's not supposed to be confusion. We're supposed to be able to recognize what our duty is. God promises us in the Quran. So now what happens? The Imam tells us what happens in times of confusion. He says, in times of confusion, when mu'mineen who you believe in, mu'mineen who submit to maraja, mu'mineen who are believers who you follow, are disagreeing with one another, he says, وَلَا يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعَلَمِ إِلَّا أَهْلُ الْبَصَرِ وَالصَّبْرِ وَعِلْمِ بِمَوَاقِعِ الْحَقِّ. The Imam says three things you're supposed to have. No one can carry the flag, brothers and sisters, except people of insight, patience, and who know the positions of truth. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to have to go to those principles that we do know, because we love and respect both of the ulama. We respect Sheikh Hamza. We love Sheikh Hamza. We pray for Sheikh Hamza. We also respect Sheikh Shumali, who's the representative of the leader. We pray for him. He's been invited here. We are students of him. We pray behind him. We love him. But they're saying different things. What are we supposed to do? Brothers and sisters, we go back to those principles. What are the principles? One of them in the Quran, do not obey the kuffar. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. If we want to understand what truth is, one of the things we're supposed to find out is see what the kuffar, and we're not saying our enemy, our neighbors, the enemies of Islam, what are they serious about? We're not supposed to obey them in that. For instance, brothers and sisters, one of their idols is homosexuality. One of their idols is Israel. One of their idols, the things that they don't like, is leadership. We make sure we don't obey them in that. Now, we know that the stance on homosexuality, right? The idea of Islam's stance and a just government, what happens for a qadi? We know that that's something that they don't like. We know that that's not all they don't like about Islam, right? What's the verse of Quran, Surah Baqarah 120? It says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. There is no pleasing the Yahud and the Nasara, the enemies of God, not our neighbors, except if you follow them. There's no amount of peace, appeasing them, akhlaq, if you talk to them. So we know these are principles. There's no way of pleasing them. Now what happens? Brothers and sisters, this is important for the global community. How many of us all know that this is a plot? We can recognize from a mile away that this is a big plot. We see what happened. We saw what happened to Sheikh Farouk. We know what's going to happen. We know. Let's say Sheikh Hamza is silenced and can't speak the truth. What other place in England will Sheikh Hamza ever be able to say the truth? They'll all look and they'll say the representative of the leader stopped him. The other people who aren't part of the line, part of the khat, your leader said this. He stopped it for the sake of Islam. Who are you? What student will ever dare to speak about homosexuality again? Who will dare? They got the video from Sheikh Hamza 6 years ago. People will be running and hiding. I don't want to say, I remember when we were having the discussion about homosexuality before, a sister told me, she said, even we're afraid to talk about homosexuality in our homes. Maybe somebody will go to school, a little kid will go to school and say, Mommy told me about the story of Lut. Is that what we're going to do? Self-censor? So if this happens, if the precedent happens of him being silenced, we all know that this is, they're creating so much fear, terror in the mu'mini. And this can go one way or the other. So now, brothers and sisters, what's our responsibility? Because we're supposed to do our taklif, our responsibility. And each and every one of us just wants to say, Baini wa bain Allah, I'm sure that I did my responsibility, because I know how sensitive this time is. We can either have the coming of the Imam now or in 200,000 years. That's you and I. We covered the hadith before. So now, one of the questions that comes up is, somebody is the leader or representative of the leader. Can we provide advice to this person? Or is that disrespecting the leader? What do we learn from the Holy Quran about the Prophet of God? Allah says to the Prophet of God, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Seek advice from the people. The idea of offering advice to your leadership, if somebody makes a mistake, a strategic error, that's not disrespectful, that's not wrong. Sheikh Shomali himself, or Sheikh Hamza, or me, or any of the other shuyukh, if we were ever to make a mistake, we would want brothers and sisters who love us to say that, look, I care about you, I want to help you, I see this as being something. So, brothers and sisters, we have to look and see what's our responsibility right now. If we've come to the determination that right now, strategically, we can see what will happen if truth isn't supported, if this precedent is established, then brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to be afraid of being alone. The hadith says, وَلَا تَسْتَوْحِشُوا فِي طَرِقِ الْحُدَى لِقِلَّةِ أَهْلِهَا. Don't be afraid because there's a few people. What about if I'm still confused? Or I still don't know. Brothers and sisters, it's real important for us to hurry and understand. We don't have a long time to understand about this. I want to give you one story and I'm going to end. One of the people, the believers, says that in the time of Imam Baqir, I came and we were eating a sheep. And I told the Imam, I said, if all of the Shia who had Basira, all of the Khawas, we were all here, we couldn't finish this one sheep. He said, you want to hear something that's even stranger? He says, after the death of the Prophet, people were left. I said in my mind, and I thought about it, and I said, what about Ammar? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I said, what about Ammar? He said, Ammar? Allah have mercy on him. He died. He became shaheed. So in my mind, I thought, well, Ammar, he became shaheed. What better than shahada? The Imam looked at me. He said, you think Ammar, who understood his job later, who didn't understand in the time, he's like the other three? A heart! Brothers and sisters, we have to hurry and understand what our responsibility is. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-alwah alati halat bifana'ik alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqid wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahdi minni liziyaratikum. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn.